The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Hour number 5 of the G-Bag Nation, the party hour. It is the final hour before we hand things over to the Fan After Dark. That will be Fred Davis and Blake Elliott again tonight. Gavin Dawson off coaching his soccer team. Wish him the best of luck. Zach Wolchuk, Eric Chiafalo, Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander, and of course you are Turn It On and Leave It On listeners. We get into TD Tuesday on the other side. Boom, shakalak. But right now we turn our attention to one of our favorites, one of the best in the business, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, Jory Epstein. Jory, how the heck you doing?
I am doing well. Brian, Aaron, Zach, how are you guys doing?
We're fantastic. I mean, I shouldn't say that, actually. The Cowboys do have me in a bad way, Jory. I can't lie about that. The season, as you know, is not going our way. But you certainly did make some headlines with the Micah quote that I did kind of think was taken out of context a little bit. How's your world been with the Micah stuff that's been blowing up?
Yeah, it's funny. Basically, what happens is I go into the locker room after the game. We just talked to Jerry Jones. It's clear that he doesn't seem to want to fire Mike McCarthy during the season, but the coach is on the final year of his contract, so he has to convince the Cowboys and the Joneses particularly to renew him. And at 3-6 with a whole lot going on, it didn't seem likely. So I figured I wanted some player perspective in my story and asked a few different players. Essentially, there's a lot of noise outside of the building about Mike McCarthy's job status on his last year. What is the sentiment of the locker room, and what would you tell people wondering? And, for example, when I asked Jordan Lewis this question, he said that as long as Mike McCarthy's at the helm, they need to keep fighting for him. It's their job to fight during the week and translate that to wins. And then you have Micah Parsons, who takes this, and the beginning of the quote was definitely taken out of context about Mike being able to leave and go whenever. He was simply making a comparison there about coaches being able to coach longer than players can play because of the physical tolls of the game on their body. But at the end of the quote, he did say that Zach Martin has essentially worked harder and done more than Mike McCarthy has ever done. And while he maybe, if we're really generously reading this, meant for the Cowboys, given that Zach was there, I mean, McCarthy's been in the league 20 years longer than Zach has, so it was definitely a little surprising. And another reporter afterwards was like, did he say that about Mike's work ethic? So I don't think it was his intent, but at some point, if you're a star player several years into your career with your own podcast, I think it's fair to take you at your word.
How much have you heard that maybe from other players around the league or even with the Cowboys about maybe Mike's work ethic? Do you think that there is maybe some substance of truth to that?
I don't know. I don't think that common reflects that. If so, I can't say I've asked so many other players from other teams about McCarthy's work ethic just because they're not playing for him right now. But I think to me, Micah was making a comment about the relative toll physically that it takes on players versus coaches. And you can also say that if Mike McCarthy hangs it up tomorrow, he'll hang it up having won a Lombardi trophy. Zach Martin, despite his 9 Pro Bowls and 7 All-Pros, has not hoisted that trophy, which is what Micah wanted to give him for him. But it's still unusual. And I think to me, whether or not the exact wording is what they would have thought about if they had an hour, it's always telling how a guy answers this question. Because, for example, when Dak was asked, I believe it was after the Green Bay loss last year, but definitely after one of the playoff losses, about Mike's job status, Dak said, well, if his job's in question, mine should be too. Look what I did out there. Look what I did on the field. We love that guy and we play for him. compared to when I asked Jalen Hurts about Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni, or I don't know if I asked him, I was there when it was asked last year, and he said, oh, is that a question? Like, is that even a question if Nick comes back? But he would not say then or in the days following, I want Nick Sirianni back. And we've seen the articles that have come out since about some of the strife between them, whether or not that led to something. So I do think when a player is not willing to say, like, we want our head coach, we fight for him, that's on us, it's telling, regardless of the exact meaning of what they're saying instead of it.
Jory Epstein of Yahoo Sports with us here on The Fan. With the way that Dak played before the injury and now with the injury and then the contract that he has, do you think that incoming prospective head coaches will view him as an asset, and that'll be one of the reasons why a coach will want the job?
Yeah, I mean, I think that most coaches will probably still view him as like a top 10 to 15 quarterback. Certainly his numbers this year are not higher than that. But I think also when you look at the body of work of what he's done over his career, let's remember that last year he was the runner-up for MVP. Some of those numbers were a little bit padded by what he did against teams that were worse than the Cowboys. But also if we talk about that year last year, well, they're not winning those games this year, so we probably do need to give them some credit for the 3-12 win seasons. I think that this was a season when so much was broken that Dak definitely didn't have it figured out, but everything around him didn't either, whether that was the protection, the lack of a run game, some of what Dak's able to do is play action based off the run game. It was interesting, though. I asked Jerry Jones after the game this week what he learned about Dak's role in this offense and on this team watching the game without him, which I wasn't trying to act like Dak's having the best season, but we just watched a guy throw 23 pass attempts and have 45 yards off it in Cooper Rush. And I like Cooper. That's not a knock on him. It's just a reflection of how wrong the season has gone. Dak was not at 45 yards on 23 attempts. And Jerry said, well, what arithmetic are you working off? Because we weren't playing well with Dak either. So I definitely think there's angst around everything right now, and Dak's contract will highlight that. But I think that Dak has shown over a long body of work that, especially with a coaching staff and a system that's able to get the guys moving and like keep up with league trends, he'll be able to play at a high level.
Jory, when you look at this Cowboys season, and you do a heck of a job of, you know, covering all the teams, but you know, I know your expertise here as well. What went wrong? If there was something that you could say, hey, Brian, this, in my opinion, was the thing that kind of turned this thing to go the wrong way.
Yeah, it's a great question because, I mean, you could – I do think from an offensive standpoint, not having a run game is a recipe for failure. When we look at what Saquon Barkley is doing this year, and there are plenty of other running backs like him, and Saquon was here this week, running backs should not be as devalued as they are. But it's not that, because there's the running back, there's the offensive line, there's the penalties, there's the turnovers, there's the defense not figuring it out. And I also think it oversimplifies matters to say if CeeDee had his contract a month earlier – then Dak and CeeDee would have been on the same page. If Mike wasn't on the final year of his deal, he wouldn't have been too afraid of it. But I do think that there just seems to be something. And John Machotar, who I know y'all know well, and I do as well, made a great point a couple of days ago of, like, someone needs to figure out, like, that Green Bay loss in the playoffs, like, it feels like this team has not recovered from that. And that's really where this traces back to. I don't think that the problem is specific to the 2024 NFL season. I really think this dates back to last year's playoff loss. And there are times, and again, this is why we'll see whether Mike's contract gets renewed, but there are times when you just need a fresh voice, a fresh scheme, and a fresh playbook.
Jory, I think you've always been one of the best sources when it comes to Dak, and Jerry told us today that he is having the surgery tomorrow in New York. He will miss the remainder of the season. Do you have anything else to add to maybe what went into that decision for Dak? It seemed like he really did not want to have the surgery, and moving forward, does he get a say if there is a coaching change? Like, do you think Dak should be in consideration for maybe where that goes?
Yeah, I think in regards to surgery, I mean, kudos to you guys at 105.3 The Fan for having that news first. Like, it's one of the rare times that you guys on your radio show had Jerry break, and I think it was Bobby who asked the question, so shout out to Bobby as well, as opposed to the insiders getting it first. But I think, yeah, he'll have the surgery tomorrow, that's Wednesday, in New York. And I think it's the right decision because the minimum recovery time is not with 6 to 8 weeks. The season is functionally over in terms of playoff performance likelihood. They have a 1% chance of making the playoffs, according to the Athletic's playoff predictor. And so your goal with Dak and really a lot of this team right now should be, what can we do to be competitive in 2025? What should we do to get close to, if not win a Super Bowl and make it to the NFC Championship next year, at least get close to those 12 win seasons so that you can set yourself back up for the success in the postseason. And that's making sure that Dak doesn't have the chance in 6 to 8 weeks of having to go through this process again and have surgery afterward because it didn't heal appropriately and properly. And Dak has shown that when he goes through the surgeries in the right way, I mean, he had two surgeries after his 2020 injury, that he's able to come back at a high level. So doing that now, long before the season and even off-season activities, seems like the smartest decision. In terms of a head coach for next year, I give, as much as we say, like, why is Jerry making all of these decisions and why is he the owner and the GM and there's not a whole lot of checks and balances when it comes to the final decision, Jerry does like to get a lot of input from a lot of different people, and Broaddus can speak even more to this than I can, because we've worked with him for all these decisions. So I would be very surprised if Dak was not one of the voices who Jerry talked to, who Jerry had meet with on interviews, especially I assume he'll be in the Dallas area. That's where he lives in the offseason. But I don't think that he's the final say. What's interesting about this is, here Chicago, if they don't retain Eberflus and they fired their offensive coordinator today, you really want the Ben Johnson type, the Lions offensive coordinator, who can make sure that you develop the young quarterback, develop the guy, and come up with that system. I think the Cowboys have a little bit of a luxury that I don't know that they need an offensive coordinator who could develop a quarterback. They need someone who can put in a scheme, who can get the shifts and motions, who can have all of those like bells and whistles. But Dak is largely developed. It's an infinite process, but he's not a rookie coming in. So I think, to me, when I look at it, I say, okay, a Mike Vrabel type who, when you look at what the Lions are doing, and I think Jerry is very aware of what the Lions are doing, a former player, that tough physical mentality, put the guys around him, a different play caller and defensive play caller than the head coach. I think that Dan Campbell model should be very appealing to the Cowboys, and also having a former player can counteract some of the distractions that the Cowboys can bring.
Jory, this is going to seem literally off the wall when you're talking about coaches, but could a guy like, you know, Deion Sanders makes, you know, sense probably to Jerry, but could a guy like Jason Witten make sense to Jerry if he's looking for a coach?
Yeah, I love that you ask make sense to Jerry, because what makes sense to Jerry is often not the same thing that makes sense to everyone else.
Sure.
I think that, I mean, look, obviously you guys have spent time with Witt. I've spent time with Mick, with Witt. Great guy, and I think he can set the culture. I think what's interesting is, while he might be able to manage people, and if you get a head coach who's not calling plays, which I definitely don't think he should come in with no NFL coaching experience and call plays and manage the team. I think that's not a recipe for success. I think what I struggle with is, I kind of think there needs to be someone who stands up to Jerry. And I don't mean that as Jerry's a bully. Like, Jerry's great for us to work with. He's great for y'all to work with generally. But I think that someone needs to be a non-Cowboys voice to be like, no, these things, and I don't think it's the tours, but some of the extra stuff that goes on off the field at the Star, you need someone to be like, that's not what it was like in my other place. And hey, Micah, if you want to talk about your show, you have to be aware of the consequences and
sure,
and all of these different things. Like, I think they need a non-Cowboys voice. And given how loyal Jerry has been to his former players, I find it difficult to believe that they would be able to not be that loyal to him. And I don't think that loyalty in that regard is what you should be looking for. I think you need someone who can balance it out.
What have you made on the way, just how they've handled this entire Zeke situation, from signing him to in the offseason to everything that's transpired now? He's benched. He's not flying with the team. He's fumbling into the end zone, and then he's getting right back onto the field.
Jamie, you guys weren't just sold, end of story, when Jerry told you guys this morning that he's not living in the past with me.
Yeah. We took his word for it.
Yeah. Look, I think that our world would be a happier, rosier place if we all had the optimistic glasses that Jerry lives his life with. I also think that Jerry likes to look at the best in people and assume that that is the average. It's funny, I actually started working on the story on Zeke fumbling back in 2021, I believe it was. It was 2020, actually. Zeke had a series of fumbles right around when Dak got hurt. And I talked to a sports psychologist, a guy named Trevor Moad, who has since passed with cancer, but he worked very closely with Cowboys mental conditioning coach Chad Bowling. And I couldn't talk to Chad for the story because he works for the team. So he connected me with Trevor. And one of the things Trevor talked about is how the past is real but not predictive. And the idea is, everything you've done before is true, but it doesn't mean that because you did something before, you're going to do it again. So for Zeke, from a fumbling standpoint, he's not more likely to fumble next week because he fumbled last week. I haven't looked this up. I think someone said it was his first fumble in the red zone, I believe.
Right. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
That out. So I mean, that I don't think that we have to worry about Zeke fumbling all the time. I think we have to worry about all of the things going wrong with the team. But I also think that that same principle of the pass not being predictive, Jerry should probably take into account, because Zeke scoring 11 times at the goal line or whatever, I mean, he had 11 or 12 touchdowns 2 years ago when he was last with Dallas. That's also not where the team is at. That's right. Not the offensive line they have. I mean, I wonder how different this team would look if Tyler Biadasz was still here. I mean, there are different guys, and Cooper Beebe might be great in 2 to 3 years, but it's hard coming in as a rookie center, and it's hard when you don't have a bunch of guys around you. So I think that this team definitely has a problem with hoping, I would say expecting that the best possible outcome will often happen, and preparing accordingly.
Jory Epstein with us here on 105.3 The Fan. I did play one of your cuts from your Yahoo podcast breaking down the Cowboys-Mingo trade. I thought your assessment of it was brilliant. You can, if you'd like to kind of rehash some of that for those that didn't hear it. But I wonder, as we talk about Zeke, your perspective and thoughts of how the Cowboys do go about the team-building aspect of things and what goes into their decision-making with trades like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see if I can remember it. Essentially, I was talking about how there are four reasons you would make a trade at this point. The first being if you are trying to make a push for the playoffs in 2024. And Jonathan Mingo is not going to help the Cowboys make a push for the playoffs in 2024, because like I said, there's like a 1% chance, depending which model you go on, whether they're going to make it or not. The second reason you make a trade right now is because you believe that this guy can be a core player in 2025 and beyond. And while Jonathan Mingo probably can do more than what he did with Carolina, because we've seen guys like Christian McCaffrey's a great example of that, and there are many others who have played way better after their Carolina days than in their Carolina days, I have trouble believing that it is worth giving up a third-round pick to get a guy when you don't know who your coach is going to be and you don't know who your scheme is going to be. So you're saying, well, this is what we liked. We liked him in the draft. I also think there's this element of, you liked him in the draft, but you have more data now. So if you're only going off the college data, to me, that's a problem. And then you have the fourth element, which is, okay, are you just doing this to excite the fans that you have a new weapon? And that to me seems like a bad reason to make a trade. I will say, since I wrote that story, I heard from an executive with the team who made the point that if you feel like you've seen enough from Mingo, you do know more about him than you know about a draft pick. And so while the third might be more valuable in terms of you can let the coach fix it, the Cowboys have been built by Will McClay for so long and kind of the best player available team. We saw they got CD that way. And so this executive from a different NFC team was telling me that he thought it wasn't that crazy because the personnel office isn't going to change so much, even if the coaching staff does. I'd actually be curious, Broadus, what you think about that.
No, absolutely. I think you're 100% right. You know, it's a lot different when you're, you know, the one thing that they always look at in personnel is continuity, you know, and that's something I think that Jerry and Steven, they, you know, with Will, they try that, and the scouts stay the same, that, you know, they're going to have to now, if they do change coaches here, there will be a philosophy switch. And depending on what kind of coach comes in, it could be a guy like Bill Belichick, say, that is very, very heavy in personnel and wants to do that. That could be a big change for these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also just struggle, again, you guys have probably watched more of Mingo's film than I have, but if this is a guy whose versatility is one of the things that we're believing him in, oh, he can operate out of the slot. Well, you've got CD in the slot. So I don't know if that was the piece that you needed to fill, but hey, depth is depth.
Jory, you're the best. Thank you so much for taking some time to join us, and we look forward to hearing your work throughout the season and talking with you again very soon.
Great to talk to you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
There she goes, Jory Epstein, senior NFL reporter with Yahoo Sports. It is a TD Tuesday. We've got some of the best calls from college and pro football. That's next on The Fan.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. no matter what. Just take a shot, pass the rest to your entire squad, and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5HourEnergy.com with the purchase of Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man. Oh, it's a sweet, sweet TD Tuesday here in the G-Bag Nation. Great to have you in. We will crosstalk with Fan After Dark, Fred Davis, and Blake Elliott coming up here in about 15 minutes. But right now, it's time for this.
Boom shakalak. Boom shakalak. Boom shakalak. TD Tuesday shakalak.
Oh, it is glorious. And let the motorboating begin. Woo! At Soldier Field. The final time for Shane Waldron as the play caller for the Bears. They only put up three. What? No TDs for you, no. Bears fans. But Drake May going mano a mano versus Drake. Another rookie quarterback in Caleb Williams. It was Mr. May finding pay dirt.
Stevens in the single back, though. Hunter motions right. May with the play pick in the pocket. Oh, wide nice. Open receiver. Left hook. And it's an beautiful. Easy flip and catch for a touchdown. Patriots.
Oh, you have an adversity that hits you the first two quarters. And Drake May settles down on his drive.
Yes, he does.
Oh, he settled down, baby.
Patriots Radio Network. My guy is running around. Kind of running for his life at times,
he makes some
big dog throws. Drake May with his baby face, but he's got a big boy body and a big boy arm.
Sure does. That was rookie to rookie Jalen Polk. Shout out to Lufkin. Stand up, baby. Tech, former Texas Tech Red Raider and then a Washington Husky. Let's go to Buffalo. Well, no one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. And Josh Allen's running for TDs.
Allen in the shotgun. Here's the snap. And off, no, it's a keeper for Allen through the left side. 10, 5, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. The beast has been released. A 13-yard touchdown run by Allen.
Release the beast.
The beast has been released. I actually like that quite a bit. And, I mean, Josh Allen, Drake May, similar statures, running around a little bit. But the Colts find themselves in a nightmare situation right now. Bills getting it done. I think they start the game off with a pick six on Mr. Joe Flacco. Yeah. That's how the day went there for the Colts.
Yeah, the Flacco thing's not going great. Couldn't channel the Cleveland Browns success and carry it over to Indy.
So many disaster franchises in this league, from the Bears to the Colts. Don't even get me started with the Giants and the Panthers. But it's all right because there are some still cream-of-the-crop teams. The Kansas City Chiefs continue flirting with death, and they did it once again at home to Bo Nix and the Broncos. But you knew Travis Kelce was going to get it done.
2x2 with eligible receivers. Piran shades to the right, far side of the field of Mahomes. Barks had a call. Now they motion to set up three eligible to the right. They throw right, caught, touchdown! Kansas City, Travis Kelce just pivots inside, and the Chiefs on 4th and 2. Gamble. And roll a 7, or is it 87?
Oh, I like that.
Beautiful, yeah. Beautiful job.
Thank you, Kansas City Chiefs Radio Network, Mitch Holthus.
Holthus?
Man,
he's
trying to get more and more creative with some of these things.
He's good. Mitch is good, and he's one of our favorites here on TD Tuesday. All right, let's go to Georgia Tech, the college TDs over the weekend. My gosh, there were so many of them.
It was
just overwhelming, really. And Haynes King, Longview Lobo, please stand up as they got a big-time upset over the Canes.
The snap by King, the swivel. He pulls it. He runs right. He's got a lane toward the pylon, and in! Touchdown, Jackets! Haynes King, sleight of hand. Rumbles in for 6.
Touchdown, Jackets.
Yeah, dude. Is that the first ever Georgia Tech Radio Network TD Tuesday appearance?
I don't think we've dabbled.
Since we've all worked together, I think that is. Yeah, unless we did the one where they won the game last year.
I don't think
versus
it was a
the Hurricanes.
It was a TD walk-off.
They probably won that game on field goals.
No, it was a touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Touchdown pass, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's historical.
Maybe we did.
And I got to say, I mean, Georgia Tech, Never seen a TD like that before.
You're at Georgia Tech. You can do that.
Haynes King. Wreck. Love to see Haynes King pick himself up off the Aggie mat, dust himself off, and now as a Yellow Jacket, he is playing spoiler. That's pretty awesome. Speaking of awesome, here's Quinn Ewers finding Mr. Wisner.
First down, play action, and it sent a screen back to the left side. Here's Weiser, 45, 40, breaks free, down to the 30, to the 20, say goodnight to this one, Trey Weiser, in for the touchdown.
What an ass-kicking it was as they were just eating Gator there in Austin. Craig Way with the call there.
Gosh,
Texas
dude.
Longhorn Radio Network.
It was good to see Quinn Ewers look more like himself a little bit.
He was a species man out there.
He's healing up, and the Florida Gators, after giving the seal of approval for their head coach Billy Napier to last another. They had a great graphic in the middle of the game when they're down like 40 to nothing or whatever, and they put up the graphic of the athletic director for Florida and his statement of retaining Billy Napier as the
great troll job.
It's like there's the graphic of we're keeping Billy Napier, and then here's the scoreboard. We're down 40.
Unreal.
And that's what you're signing up for next year.
I kind of hope that stays the course with LSU traveling to the swamp this weekend.
I think you'll be in good hands.
I don't know about that.
Bounce back victory. Yeah. Nuss is going to
I watched a little of Georgia, Florida from the cocktail party because I was watching the Georgia safety. And, man, I mean, Florida played him pretty well until
Florida
their quarterback, you know. It's I guess Kurt Warner's son's the quarterback at – or Warner's a quarterback at
– I think he transferred over there.
To Florida, yeah.
And, I mean, maybe Lagway's back. Maybe DJ Lagway, the freshman's back. He did not play against Texas.
Yeah, I hope not.
All right, let's go to the 49ers Radio Network. We have not heard from them in a little while, but they were back with a San Francisco TD party. It was close against Baker and the Bucks, but Purdy found his guy Kittle.
Second down, 10, 11-yard line. Purdy, quick snap, looks right. Purdy, time. Purdy pushed out to his right now. Can I still keep the ball and roll to his left? Vita Vea chasing him. Gets his shoulders around. Throws to the back of the end zone. Caught by George Kittle. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Toe tapper specialist in the corner of the end zone, George Kittle. That is unbelievable.
I'd like to be a toe tapping specialist.
The toe tapper specialist right there. That was a heck of a grab.
You should try it out in the bathroom stall.
Tap, tap, tap.
You know, I was looking at some of the issues that the Niners have been having, and everybody's waiting for Christian McCaffrey to come back and solve their problems. But they had, from a per rush standpoint, expected points added, it was almost their worst number of the season. With Christian McCaffrey back, the red zone was still a problem for him. So it's certainly good to have McCaffrey back, and he had some nice plays. But the issues are still remaining to this point. It's not like insert McCaffrey and now we're a good red zone offense. They still struggled mightily in the red zone. So going to be interesting to see how that shakes out with the Cardinals now, with what Kyler Murray's doing. Cardinals and Niners in a dogfight for the division. Oof. That's going to be fun. That's going to be a lot of fun. Now, before that took place there on Sunday, you had Baker Mayfield. When he wasn't trying to shuck off Nick Bosa, he was finding Rashad White for pay dirt.
Here's the snap, looking right, toes up, holding up, caught ball, Rashad White, inside the 5, 3, 2, 1, touchdown Tampa Bay, fire the cannons, three, the Bucs are a point away from tying.
Every time.
Can't three, wait till two, we get one. The interview. We can interview.
3, 2, 1, fire the cannons now, fire.
We got Gene coming up.
Love you, Gene. He Bucs Radio Network.
He wants the cannons to fire before the guy crosses the goal line.
Sure.
He doesn't even spit out
fire.
The touchdown. Just fire him, and then I can give my call. I can't give my call until the cannons are fired. Are they fired yet? Okay, it's a Buccaneers touchdown.
He's at the 3, fire the damn cannons, 2-1 touchdown. Let's go. Yeah, we just need to get that game flexed out of Sunday Night Football. Nobody wants to watch that.
Do you think when we get Cincinnati, we're going to ask a bunch of Dave Lapham questions?
I hope you ask about Dave. Like, Dave's one of my favorites.
Like, hey, when you're calling the broadcast of a touchdown, does it bother you that Dave is just constantly yelling, go, go, go,
please
go,
do.
Go,
yeah,
go,
yeah,
yeah,
go,
woo, yeah, woo, yeah, yeah, please ask that.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Pittsburgh, the Steelers Radio Network, Russell Wilson finding his new best friend who just joined the team, never ran this route before, but Mike Williams finding pay dirt.
Wilson settles back, raises the foot, gets the snap, back to pass, looking, going to float it up left for Williams, and Williams makes the grab in the end zone. What a throw! What a catch! Mike Williams in his first game in a Steelers uniform has hauled in a 32-yard touchdown strike from Russell Wilson.
He got it!
Dude, I'll tell you what, the Russell Wilson moonshot down the sideline ball.
It's back.
It is back with a vengeance, dude. I mean,
bringing rain.
When, George Pickens was built for that. And Mike Williams perhaps built for it as well. That was a spectacular game. And we were monitoring it during the pregame show in the Miller Lite West Plaza. It is cool that in the Miller Lite West Plaza, they have the two big screens where Red Zone's on.
It's a good deal.
So, like, during commercial breaks, I'm, like, getting off the platform and walking over to watch after, what's going on, back and forth game. That was a big one. That was a fun one.
After you're kissing all the fans on the way down the platform.
Yeah, you got to give all the dap ups and kiss some fans. Yell. Apologize for Bratis for not wanting to make any eye contact.
I was much better last week.
It was some improvements.
Some chocolate shakes.
Gave away chocolate shakes.
I was hospitality man.
Well, well, well. Look at you, Brian.
Trying to be better.
Yeah, seriously. Cowboy home games, swing through the Miller Lite West Plaza.
And give
you
Eric
never know.
A kiss.
You never know.
Yeah, he's a new Richard Dawson.
Yeah. Eric will come down off the platform and give you a kiss.
It's your first game.
Hey, you want a Philly cheesesteak? Oh, here. I love you. Yeah.
Take my credit card.
Bring it in, guys.
I treat the Tolos and Cowboys fans in the Miller Lite West Plaza the same way Broadus treats Merrill Reese during our behind enemy lines.
Just making out
with these folks.
I am so happy. Wow. I've got to the point now I know how much you hate it that I just completely oversell it. Now I do.
I love it, man. Almost as much as I love smoking a Jackson dart.
There's the snap. He's got a man in the end zone. Wells, and he catches it. Does he hold it? Touchdown! Ole Miss right under the goalpost. Juice Wells snags it out of the sky.
Juice Wells, hot toddy, gosh almighty, huh?
Who the hell are we? Flim, flam, bim, bam, Ole Miss by damn.
That was good. Juice Wells there as Ole Miss pulls off a big-time upset.
That's a juicy TD.
It is. And now we just found out Tennessee and Georgia, they're playing this weekend.
They're flexed.
Tennessee quarterback, Nico Iamalaeva. Did I butcher it?
I don't think there's a question mark at the end of it,
though. I had a question mark because I hate saying the last name. I don't know. Just Nico. He's
Nico
out.
I.
He's not playing.
Nico's not playing?
He left the Tennessee game injured on Saturday, and he's been officially ruled out against Georgia.
You know what that spells? Trouble.
Here come the dogs.
Here come the dogs.
Red helmets, red jerseys, silver bridges.
And Kirby Smart's going to kick some ass.
Yeah, this is a
toupee.
This is a bad taste in your mouth. Dogs team coming into town as well.
Yeah.
That's not a team that's looking to lose two in a row.
I think this game's in Athens, isn't it?
Yeah, they're going to urinate all over the floor.
Maybe it is in Athens.
I think it is in Athens.
Either way. Don't want to be a volunteer on Saturday.
Every one of their hard games they played on the road.
That's going to be disrespectful.
Don't want to be a volunteer on Saturday.
No, RJ Jobby is kicking. All right, let's go to Colorado where Shador Sanders was throwing TDs to Travis Hunter, and he was shoving tortillas in his pants.
There's a little screen off of the left-hand side, caught by Travis, turns a corner, on his way to the end zone, and he leaps into the end zone with joy, and Colorado scores with 1:18 to play in the third. Travis Hunter turned down the afterburners, and the most dynamic player in college football has given the Buffs now a 30-20 advantage.
Is
that his real voice?
That's his real voice.
He's not doing cartoonish broadcaster.
No, not at all.
Mike's voice.
No, not at all.
I like it. If that's who he is.
I mean, I get it.
I like it.
Dang, I used to remember the guy's name, but Gary Barnett, the old coach, works with him.
Yeah,
and Gary Barnett doesn't. I mean, he doesn't say like three words the whole. I mean, literally, like this guy talks the whole.
If this guy,
coach,
likes,
what do you think? Well, they need to play a little bit better defense. Okay. I mean, Gary Barnett just doesn't say anything.
If this guy likes the sound of his own voice, I can't say I blame him.
He loves to talk.
Walchuk, before you introduce that lovely TD there, you said something about a tortilla in the pants of Travis Hunter. He voluntarily did that with a flour tortilla?
Yeah, he picked up one of the tortillas that got thrown onto the field while he was playing corner, not wide receiver, and he just went ahead and stuffed it in his pants.
Did he back door? It was a front door tortilla, and then did he play the rest of the game with it?
I don't know what happened to that tortilla. I think we're still looking for it.
I feel like that's one of those like
sideline snack.
He could.
I don't think he ate it.
How about a joke? You play a joke like, hey, here, Shador.
I made you a taco. Yeah, You've heard of a bleep meat sandwich, but have you ever heard of a bleep meat taco?
What if he just handed to somebody as a joke?
And
you're like, you know what you just ate, bro? I put that tortilla in my pants. What? No. Oh, God.
No.
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 No. No. No. No.
again.
No, what if I fell for it? No. Yeah.
Broadus got so excited, though, watching the Travis Hunter film.
Oh, gosh.
He'd probably be excited to eat that tortilla.
It was a burrito.
Oh, it was a burrito.
It went to tie.
It was 9 to midnight.
It was a burrito. It was one of those Freebird burritos.
Wow.
All right, it was one of those Freebirds. It was a monster.
Let's try and cleanse our palate with a Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Houston touchdown.
What?
Jared takes, turns, throws right side, got a complete. Amon-Ra picks up block to the five, to the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
They are right back in this game.
They sure were.
That press box was those dudes, I guarantee you, they're cheering. Yeah. Lewis Brown's like, go, standing up, like blocking,
it.
You know, he's like, all kinds of stuff going on.
Lions Radio Network. They're Mark Johnson, by the way, play-by-play guy for the Colorado Buffaloes.
Mark Johnson, that's
Gary
him.
Gary Barnett, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Houston.
Gary Barnett. You said Larry or Gary?
I said Gary.
Okay.
No Larry
I'm sorry,
guy.
I said Larry.
I mean, hey.
But I think it's Terry.
No disrespect to Larry's out there. Love Larry's. Joe Mixon, he's been fantastic for Houston. He got the scoring party off here with this TD. Take it away, Texans Radio Network.
Empty backfield for Stroud. Second and goal at the 8. Ooh. Back for the timeout. Ooh.
Quarterback draw, baby.
Yeah. Now Mixon comes into the backfield. And he gets the handoff, running left across the 5. No Mixon, draw. Touchdown, Houston. 8-yard line, Joe Mixon.
So obviously you're happy that they scored a TD there, but you just put in the call for the quarterback draw.
That was Andre Ware.
They gave it to Mixon. Like, do you feel like a little bit of a schmuck? Like, damn it, I missed that one.
It does, yeah. You're trying to pivot away from that moment as quickly as possible. You're trying to get it to commercial break. Let's kick off. Let's just move on. Let's get to the next possession.
I'm not putting in the call next time.
No more putting in the
call.
That's
why when Brad asked Babe, and Babe's like, I'm not answering this. Why? Yeah. Because of moments like this.
It was a heady play.
I think Mark Vandermeer's figured it out. We'll talk to him Monday night. But
Marky V?
He figured it out that Andres probably makes a lot of those calls. He just powers through it. You know, oh, looks like the quarterback draw. And he just keeps doing it. He's like, oh, really? You think? Oh, no, it's a handoff.
It'd be a good bit if you just did that every time. Eventually, it's going to work. Eventually, they will run the quarterback
draw. Put in the call for every.
Oh, boy, quarterback draw here. Let's mix it again. Dang it.
All right, we're going to wrap things up here on a TD Tuesday with this TD here is one of those that should be one of those jaw-dropping, you're almost speechless, but you're so excited that things are still just vomiting out of your mouth because you can't believe the TD that you just witnessed. This is a walk-off college TD, Missouri's winning the game, and it sounds like the least exciting thing you've ever heard.
Arnold takes the snap, comes back over the middle, flush in the pocket, moving right. Ball comes free. Ball comes free, scooped up by Missouri Zion Young at the 15 to the 10. To the house, to the house, to the house with 30 seconds to play. A scoop and score for Missouri. How do you like that?
Game-winning touchdown right there. 30 seconds left. Mizzou Radio Network.
Hearing it back the second time, there was more excitement than I gave
excitement.
It credit
Did
for.
I
thought this was going to be like
Andre Ware.
I thought this was pure pandemonium. Like everybody's screaming in the booth.
Nah.
Your headsets flying off. There's 30 seconds left in the game, and that was the game was tied before it was a fumble recovery scoop and score. Yeah. And I thought it was going to be a little bit more electric, but I take back what I said.
Missouri is a professional broadcasting journalism school. A lot of professionals in that booth.
Not going to homer it up
Not
in a huge
homer,
way.
Nah.
Yeah, I was expecting
I
more
homer. Like the Commander's Hail Mary, you know, where they're just all screaming and hugging each other.
I wanted to hear their pants go flying off, you know, but you didn't audibly, it didn't pick up.
No, it didn't.
But still an impressive play, and that'll do it for a week 10 edition of TD Tuesday here in the G-Bag Nation. We crosstalk with Fan After Dark next right here on The Fan.
Thank you very much, Lucius. All right, we've got The Fan After Dark joining us. It is Fred Davis. It is Blake Elliott. I do have some housekeeping to take care of here. Congratulations to Rangers infielder Josh Smith. Smitty has been selected as the recipient of the 2024 Louisville Slugger Silver Slugger Award at the utility position in the AL.
Congrats.
So congratulations to
Tigers.
Josh Smith. Career highs in all four slash categories this year. Yep, and that is a proud LSU Tiger. Also, Kendra Andrews, ESPN, who we had on earlier, as Klay Thompson walks into the Chase Center, 400 Warriors and Chase Center employees welcomed Klay Thompson back to the Bay, tipping their caps to the captain. It looked like quite really the party. And reception for Klay as he's just walking in, shades on, head nod. That's a nice warm welcome there for Klay.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a big win. It's just another win for him, another game for him, as he says, even though he hasn't won a
what, the NBA Cup, as you like to say?
He hasn't played in it. This is his first time playing.
That's what it was. Yeah, well, wouldn't he played in it last year?
I don't believe so. Or they lost really early. So this will be some competitive basketball for Clay coming back to Golden State, having the NBA Cup. We saw last year, we didn't know how competitive the NBA Cup would be, and you saw very quickly as soon as these games started, it was a lot more competitive. You saw these guys picking up 94. So I expect today, especially with Derek Lively making his first comeback, I think today will be one of the best Mavs games we've seen this season.
Better be.
And I predicted, and we'll get more into it as the show goes on, I predicted when I texted Fred earlier today, Mavs winning streak starts tonight. I think we're going to get a 5-6 game win streak. This up and down, I think you're going to have to see the ship get settled with Derek Lively back in the lineup.
Is this the tournament with the really cool courts?
Yes. This is going to be the
or the real courts. Crazy courts.
Yeah,
no, this that's is what
the, it is. I think and the Mavs court didn't come in time, right?
Yeah, so funny enough, you asked about that. It came in, but there was some issues with the lighting and the paint as far as slippage. Oh. And players were slipping in pregame.
Oh.
And
it
was like, do we want to have players slipping and have a cool court? Or we want to just go back to the original? And they never could fix it with all the stuff. You know, the Dallas Stars obviously play there as well. Yeah. They just couldn't find, I guess, the time. I don't know. I'm not a court manager. But they could never figure out how to get the court to work, and I think we only saw it once last year.
You've appeared in court a bunch, though, right?
Only twice, I believe. Like, yeah. And I was confused both times. I was the guy
well, that's
in the
not
back.
Surprising.
That I buy.
I was the guy like, hey, do I walk up here?
Yeah. Imagine that.
Am I being arrested right
am
now?
Am I pleading no contest or am I guilty?
I plead the fifth.
Which one is it?
The amount of people that when you're in there, you think everyone's in there for a speeding ticket, and everybody, but most of them didn't. Literally, there'll be one or two guys. It's like, all right, vehicle manslaughter. whoa, am I in the wrong place?
This sounds intense.
You're looking at 15 to 20, and I'm just like, hey, I'm just trying to not have some of my, I don't want my insurance to go up.
What else you guys got coming up on the show tonight?
We got our boy Corey Chavis. He's coming by at 7:40, talking all things NFL. He was at the game. He's got a great breakdown. And of course, you know, look, he played D-back for 11 years in the National Football
Vanderbilt.
League. Vandy guy and runs Draft Nasty, so he's got he's got stuff for days. But you know, I talked to him today a little bit, and he mentioned that what you see with Carson, he said, look, I wasn't as
Carson Beck?
No, Kalen Carson.
Kalen Carson. Okay.
He said he wasn't all that like turned off by his performance on Sunday.
Double moves were hard on him in that game, man.
Well, he said, what better way? He goes, when you're in that situation like the Cowboys are in, I mean, what else are you going to do, right? And he goes, you got to learn somehow.
I asked Brian, I was sitting right next to him, I said, can someone come in for him? And Brian was like, you just don't have anybody else. You got to learn on the job.
They pivoted to Izzy.
They'll probably start McQuamu if Bland can't go this week.
No, he talked about that. I want to get, and we don't have enough time, but I would really like to know, and Broadus, you can speak to this better than more likely than any of us.
I failed at it, so go ahead and ask.
How much are we putting too much into Guyton and not underappreciating the fact that he was going from right tackle to left tackle?
I think there's something to it with him.
You know?
You just wonder about the mental toughness with that.
Yeah.
And having to make that switch. So there's a lot of things flying right now about that young man.
I just go back to, and this is the only example I can use that off the top of my head where you've seen it in real time.
Yeah.
You know, the Chiefs signed Juwan Taylor a year ago and talked about moving him from right tackle to left tackle. And they realized real quick, you know what? And this is an NFL guy giving $20 million a year to, and said, you know what? Let's just go and leave you at right side. And I just kind of wonder, have we put too much on Guyton expecting him to just kind of be a shoe-in at that left tackle
spot?
Oh, no,
because we plug and play guys here.
Right. Yeah, the expectations are high.
Yeah, if you're a first-round offensive tackle, we plug and play
you. Well, fair
That's
enough.
That's what it is, yeah.
Looking forward to the show, boys.
Thank you.
Enjoy the night. That is Fred and Blake. Shout-out to Gavin Dawson. Thank you to him. Brian Broaddus, Eric Chiafalo, Carter Freeman, who had the video for Lucius Alexander. Another 5 hours of flawless radio broadcasting, as Gavin Dawson would say. I'm Zach Wolczyk. Until tomorrow at 2, hugs and hand pounds, everybody.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy.
It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.